Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Beautiful Tree by James Tooley is a nonfiction work of education policy, development studies, and field-based reportage. First published in 2009, it examines how poor families in parts of India, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, and China use low-cost private schools even when government schools are formally available. Tooley presents the book as both a personal journey and an empirical challenge to a dominant assumption in international development that the state, supported by aid agencies, is the central route to universal basic education. His argument is not simply that private schools exist in poor communities, but that they are often created by local entrepreneurs, sustained by parental fees, and chosen because parents perceive them as more accountable and effective. The book combines travel narrative, interviews, school visits, and research findings, including comparisons of learning outcomes. Its purpose is to make visible a largely overlooked education market and to ask whether policy should recognize and support it rather than dismiss it. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, low-cost private schools as an overlooked education system for the poor. A central contribution of The Beautiful Tree is its claim that low-cost private schools are not marginal exceptions, but a significant part of education provision in many poor urban and peri-urban communities. Tooley describes finding schools in slums and informal settlements that were often absent from official records or treated by authorities as irrelevant because they did not fit the expected model of development. The importance of this discovery lies in its challenge to visibility. If governments, donors, and researchers count only recognized public institutions, they may misread how poor families are actually securing education. Tooley shows that these schools often operate in modest buildings, charge small fees, and rely on local demand rather than outside subsidy. Their existence suggests that poor communities are not merely passive recipients of state or charitable services. They also generate institutional responses when public systems fail to meet expectations. The book, therefore, reframes the education problem from one of simple access to one of institutional recognition, quality, and responsiveness. Secondly, parental choice and accountability through fee-paying relationships. Tooley gives strong emphasis to the agency of poor parents, especially their willingness to pay for schooling, despite the availability of free or subsidized public options. The book argues that this choice is not irrational or merely aspirational. Parents often seek schools where teachers are present, classes are more disciplined, instruction is more consistent, or English language teaching is available. The fee relationship matters because it creates a direct accountability mechanism. If parents are dissatisfied, they can complain, withdraw children, or move to a competing school. This does not mean the market is perfect, but it does create feedback that is often weak in bureaucratic public systems. Tooley uses this point to question paternalistic assumptions in development policy. Poor parents may lack wealth, but they often possess detailed local knowledge about school performance and strong incentives to judge value carefully. The book treats their choices as evidence that education policy should listen more closely to household decision-making, rather than assuming experts always know which institutions serve the poor best. Thirdly, empirical comparison of learning outcomes across school types. The Beautiful Tree is not only a narrative of discovery, it also rests on comparative research into school performance. Tooley and his research collaborators examined low-cost private schools and government schools in several countries and tested large numbers of children. The reported findings indicate that pupils in low-cost private schools often performed better than pupils in government schools, even after accounting for background differences and selection issues as far as the research design allowed. This element is important because the book moves beyond anecdote. A few inspiring schools would not be enough to support a policy argument, but systematic comparison strengthens the claim that these institutions deserve attention. The mechanism behind better results is presented as a combination of teacher presence, parental monitoring, school-level management, and competitive pressure. At the same time, the book enters a contested research field. Effective learning comparisons in poor communities are difficult, and critics question how fully selection effects can be removed. Still, Tooley makes outcomes central rather than relying only on enrollment or intentions. Fourthly, critique of aid-driven and government-centered education reform. The book directly challenges the development establishment by arguing that aid agencies and governments often overlook or undermine educational initiatives already functioning among the poor. Tooley criticizes the assumption that expanding public provision is the only legitimate path toward universal education. In his account, government schools may suffer from teacher absenteeism, weak accountability, low parental influence, or bureaucratic indifference. International aid can reinforce these weaknesses when it funds systems without asking whether families are using alternative providers. The critique is not simply ideological, it is grounded in the observation that policy design from above may fail to detect local institutional arrangements. If aid programs ignore low-cost private schools, they may misallocate resources, impose inappropriate regulations, or crowd out schools that parents value. Tooley, therefore, asks readers to rethink the meaning of public purpose. Education can serve public goals even when delivered by private local providers. The book argues for policy humility before designing solutions. Reformers should investigate what poor families have already built and chosen. Lastly, equity, regulation, and the unresolved limits of market-based schooling. Although The Beautiful Tree is strongly sympathetic to low-cost private schooling, its argument raises important questions about equity and regulation. Fee-paying schools may be affordable to many poor families, but still difficult for the very poorest, especially households with several children or unstable income. Quality can also vary widely, and low fees may be associated with poorly paid teachers, crowded classrooms, or limited facilities. These concerns do not negate Tooley's findings, but they complicate the policy implications. If governments recognize such schools, they must decide whether to regulate, subsidize, inspect, or partner with them. Too little regulation may leave families exposed to low-quality providers, while heavy regulation may close small schools that operate on thin margins. The book is therefore most valuable when read as a provocation rather than a complete blueprint. It shows that market-based schooling can emerge under severe poverty, but it also invites debate about how to protect access, transparency, and minimum standards without destroying the local responsiveness that makes these schools attractive. In conclusion, The Beautiful Tree is best suited to readers interested in education reform, international development, school choice, poverty policy, and the practical limits of government service delivery. Policymakers can use it to question whether official education statistics and planning assumptions capture the full range of institutions serving poor families. Researchers will find it useful as an example of how field observation and empirical comparison can challenge accepted policy narratives. Educators and nonprofit leaders may gain a clearer understanding of why parents in low-income communities sometimes prefer fee-paying schools over free public alternatives. The book also benefits general readers because it turns an abstract debate about aid and public schooling into a concrete examination of how families make decisions under constraint. Its distinctive value lies in combining personal investigation with a direct policy challenge. Many books on global education focus on state failure, donor programs, or inspirational individual stories. Tooley instead highlights a decentralized system of small schools, created by local initiative and sustained by parental demand. Whether one accepts all of his conclusions or remains concerned about equity and regulation, the book stands out because it makes visible a sector that conventional development thinking often misses. Its lasting contribution is to insist that poor parents should be studied as decision makers, not treated only as beneficiaries of plans designed elsewhere. If you would like to support James Tooley, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.